Once again, this is Jim Rauer, your host. Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. If you were with us last week, you know we talked about Jonah, the reluctant prophet, and we're going to take up chapter 3 in Jonah today. If you have your Bible there, turn it in the Old Testament to Jonah, a short little book of four chapters between Obadiah and Micah. And as you know, last week we talked about Jonah in the belly of the whale, and God took Jonah, prepared a fish for him because Jonah was running from the Lord, and God prepared a fish for him to swallow up Jonah out in the sea. And Jonah cried out to the Lord in verse 2 of chapter 2. He cried out to the Lord, "I cried out because of my affliction, and he, God, answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice." And so Jonah got delivered. He made a trip down to hell where his soul was taken down to the pit. Verse 6 says, "You have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple." And then verse 9, "Salvation is of the Lord." So Jonah, who is an Old Testament type and shadow, a picture of Jesus Christ, came to the realization, he came to the revelation that salvation is of the Lord, that God not only can raise people from the dead, but he can give us a new life. He raises dead people dead in their sins, and it is God's sovereign desire and will to raise people from their sins, to raise people who are walking dead in their sins. And so as Jonah received salvation from the Lord, so you too can receive salvation from the Lord this day. And no matter what sins you are walking in, no matter what disobedience you're walking in, no matter what rebellion you're walking in, God wants to set you free today. He wants to give you deliverance. He wants to get you started on your path. And whatever your calling, your path is, God has not revoked that. And we see there that after Jonah was vomited up on the dry land, up on the beach there, God then spoke to Jonah and reminded him of his calling, reminded him of his destiny, and so Jonah was given a second chance. Well, that teaching for us, that lesson for us, is that God always gives us a second chance up to the moment of your death, and even sometimes after our death. There are many testimonies out there of God giving people a second chance after their death, after they maybe had a near-death experience, or maybe God allowed them to die in the flesh and he took their spirit or their soul to hell or to heaven and spoke to them. And so there's many testimonies out there. I'm thinking most of them are valid. Most of them are reliable. That's one of the things that is not, people are not going to choose that kind of thing for themselves. And so God is able to do that just as he did it with Jonah. And so your gift and your calling that you have been given by the Lord is irrevocable. Romans 11:29 says, "The gifts and callings of the Lord are irrevocable." And so when God places a calling on your life, when he speaks over you your destiny, when he speaks over your calling, God is not going to take that away. You may run from him. You may stay out in the wilderness area for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. You may stay in rebellion. And eventually God is going to bring you back to that place where he spoke to you about your calling. Eventually God will bring you back to that place. And he said, "We're going to start from here and we're going to move forward from here. And you are going to fulfill your calling," or at least he will give you the opportunity to move forward in your calling and into your destiny. And many of you, many people are trapped in rebellion. They're in drug addiction. They're in alcohol addiction. They're in pornography. They're outside the body of Christ. Maybe God spoke to them as a child and revealed himself to them as a child, and they know that they're in disobedience. They know that God wants them to serve him. They know that they're not walking with the Lord. And I just speak to you, brothers and sisters, wherever you're at today in your walk with the Lord, I want to encourage you. God's time is not linear, nor does he count your transgressions against you when you come to him with a heart of repentance. When you come to him and say, "Lord, I am sorry. I want to start all over. I want to start with a new heart, with a new page." 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things are new, the old has passed away. And so wherever you're starting today, maybe you're a baby believer today and you've never really walked into your calling, or maybe you've been a believer for a long time and you've backslidden, you've fallen away. Wherever you're at today, understand this: God will take you where you're at, and He will start this day and move you into your calling if you are obedient to Him and you are willing to walk in that destiny and into that place where God wants you to go. Well, so Jonah was obedient to the Lord. The second time, it says in verse 3:1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So this is the remnant plan. This is the plan that God had originally for Jonah, but He was just waiting for Jonah to come into agreement. And so Jonah arose, and he went to Nineveh, verse 3, according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk, and then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Well, that's a pretty simple message. That's a message of get right with the Lord, but you can see that even in this exceedingly great city, God was willing to give them another 40 days. God was willing to give them 40 days and say to them, "I'm going to give you still yet a little more time to get your act together, to get cleaned up, to get right with me." And so God is always willing, up to the point of your death, God is always willing to say that, "I'm going to give you more time." 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that the Lord is not slack or slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is long-suffering or patient toward us. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so it is God's will that all should come to know Him, that all should come to repentance, that no one should perish. God loves you. Brother and sister, maybe you think God doesn't love you. Maybe you think He doesn't care about you. Let me tell you, that is a thought that has been put into your mind by the devil. God loves you. He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. He sent His Son Jesus to shed His precious blood on the cross, that you could know Him, that you could know Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit for all eternity. And so God's will is that none should perish. And if you've been praying for your children, maybe you're a believer and you have children that are not walking with the Lord, or friends that are not walking with the Lord, let me encourage you this day: do not give up praying for them. Keep praying. Hang in there. Keep praying, because God hears your prayer, and at just the right time. God's timing is always beautiful. He will touch them. He will speak to them, just like somebody out there today is being spoken to on this radio broadcast, and the Lord is piercing your heart right now, and the Lord is saying to you, "It's okay to come back. It's okay. I will take you back into my loving arms." And so if you're in that situation today where you do not know the Lord, maybe you've been backslidden and you were touched maybe years ago, God says, "Come back to me, come back." And it is for that reason that I created you, to walk into your destiny, to walk into your calling. It is for that reason. And the Lord says, "I have not forgotten you." Well, 2 Peter 3:10, it says, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." And verse 14, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by God in peace, without spot or blameless." So don't take God's grace for granted. Don't take His loving kindness for granted. Don't take His patience for granted. If the Lord is moving on your heart today, or God is speaking to you something today that you need to do for the kingdom, don't take for granted that it's going to be there tomorrow. You never know when your last day is going to be, but God is patient. And at some point, He may say, "Well, that's all the patience that I have for that person," or "That's all the patience that I have for that city." And so He gave to Nineveh 40 days to get straight, to get right with the Lord, and Jonah preached that message to them. Well, back to Jonah 3:5, it says, "So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them." So Jonah's preaching was effective, and that is another lesson that we can take from this, is that even when we've been disobedient to the Lord, even when we have rebelled against him and we have fallen away. If God calls you back to be a preacher, if God calls you back to be an evangelist or whatever God calls you to be in your destiny, you move forward in that, God will use you. He can use you. He can use every single common person on this earth. It is not unusual for God to use the down and out, those that have been rejected by society or those that have been deemed unworthy by society, and God can clean them up and he can make a preacher out of them. He can make a prophet or an evangelist out of them. And so Jonah went and preached, and his preaching was effective because he was preaching under the unction and the power of God. It wasn't Jonah's power. It wasn't Jonah's might. It was the power of God and the power of God speaking to the people of Nineveh that got their attention. Well, chapter 3, verse 7, and the king of Nineveh proclaimed a fast and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hand. And verse 9, who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Well, brothers and sisters, it's encouraging to know that God can change his mind. Yes, God is the same yesterday, today, forever. He is the God of the I Am. He is in every situation, in every moment in time. He is the God of the I Am. But he can change his mind. He can relent of the disaster that he has declared over some person or some nation. In Jeremiah 18:7, there's a very interesting scripture. God is speaking to Jeremiah, and he says, the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build up and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I had spoken, that I would benefit it. And so God can change his mind. It's up to our behavior. It's not that God is wishy-washy or can't make up his mind or is uncertain. It's just that our behavior determines our outcome. Your behavior determines where you're going to stand with God. And if you've been walking with the Lord and you get backslidden, then I would say, brother and sister, you need to get right with God. If you have turned and been disobedient, God says that he can change his mind about your destiny. I don't believe in once saved, always saved. I believe person can get backslidden to the point where they're actually denying God, that they're actually in agreement with the devil and blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. And by the same token, if you've been walking in rebellion and you've been disobedient and you've been way out there in the wilderness area, if you repent and come back to the Lord and you seek him and you seek his face, just like the people of Nineveh, it says they cried mightily to God. And everyone turned from his evil way, even the livestock fasted. They did not drink and they did not taste anything. And so God, in verse 10, it says God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. And so God saw the desire. He sees the hearts of every single person. He sees your heart today. He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows if you're sincere about serving him. He knows if you're sincere about loving him and coming back to him. And so if you're in that position today, where you need to turn back to the Lord, you need to repent from your wicked ways and repent of the evil that you're doing, just do it today. Just get down on your knees and thank the Lord that he has given you the opportunity, and just praise him that he is slow and patient and shows mercy and grace to you, and God will relent of the evil and he will speak blessings and the benefit that he intends for all people. That benefit will then be bestowed upon you. Well, chapter 4 is a picture of Jonah's anger. He became angry at the Lord because it says in verse 1, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my country?" In other words, he's accusing God of being too benevolent. And I would just want to say, brothers and sisters, that it is a good thing that God is benevolent. It is a good thing that God is merciful. Don't accuse God of being too merciful when he reaches into the prison and saves those prisoners, when he reaches in to the prostitution den and saves the prostitutes, or he reaches into the drug den and saves the druggies. He is merciful, and his grace and his blessing is for every single person, every single person of his creation. And thank God for that, or I wouldn't be preaching to you today on the radio, and some of you can relate to that. You have been disobedient, very disobedient, and then you came to know the Lord, and you found out what a blessing it was to walk with the Lord, what a blessing it was for your family. He may have blessed you with a beautiful wife or a good job or beautiful children or whatever. And so God is merciful, he is graceful, and he will show his loving kindness to any single person on the face of the earth, even to whole cities. And so it is not up for us to judge and condemn those people. It is not up for us to judge and condemn whole cities. Like people say, "Oh, I just wish San Francisco would fall off into the ocean," or "I wish New Orleans would just fall off into the ocean," or whatever. No, you speak the blessings over people. You speak the blessings over this nation. You speak the blessings over this president. You speak the blessings over your children. And if you do that, you're coming into agreement with what God has for them. Well, Jonah got so depressed, he said, "I would rather die. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me." Verse 3 in chapter 4. "For it is better for me to die than to live." And then the Lord says, "Jonah, is it right for you to be angry?" Well, Jonah felt justified in being angry because he was mad at the Lord for saving this wicked city of Nineveh. And verse 9, God says to Jonah again, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" Because the Lord had prepared a plant to shade Jonah and give him some shade and some cooling while he was sitting outside the city watching to see what would happen. And Jonah was still angry with the Lord. And Jonah said, "It is right for me to be angry even to death." And so Jonah was being very stubborn. He doesn't say, even to the end of the chapter, it doesn't say whether Jonah ever got over his anger, but he was a disobedient in that sense. He was disobedient to the Lord, even though the Lord had used him to preach the word. Jonah got petty, and he got angry, and he wanted to justify his anger and say, "God, you don't have the right to save these people." Well, let me just say, brother and sister, God has the right to save. Not only does he have the right, he has made the way for you to be saved. Not only does he have the sovereign authority, but he has made the way. He has given us the passageway by which we can all be saved. The blood of Jesus is our entryway into the holy place. The blood of Jesus is our entryway into eternity with the Lord. The blood of Jesus is our entryway to have our sins covered and our sins forgiven. And so when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God sees you as he sees his own son. God sees you because the blood of Jesus is covering your sins. And he says, "I don't remember your sins as far as the east is from the west." And so God sees you as he sees his own son, Jesus Christ. And when he looks down on your life and he sees Jesus Christ in you, then he says, "Come into my kingdom." When your life is done, when your last day on earth is done and you are finished and you've breathed your last breath, God says, "Come into you, come into my kingdom, come in, and I will give you rest here with me, with Jesus and the angels and myself for all eternity." Well, brother and sister, I hope you make that decision today, if you've never made it, that God is slow to anger, that his loving kindness is for you, and that Jesus' blood was shed for you, and that you can walk with the Lord, not only here on this earth, but you can walk with the Lord for all eternity, and you can have the joy of knowing without any doubt that you are saved. If you make a decision in regarding your salvation, if you make that decision today, just let me know. Contact me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know that you've made that decision, that you've invited Jesus into your life, that you've repented, followed up with Christian baptism, and God will be faithful and true to write your name in the book of life for all eternity. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.